I'm checking my record, it sounds all right. I just need to change my gain a little bit. Okay. Let's just go when you're ready to go then, fella.
Welcome to Encyclopedia Commandrica, the segment where we go to the Gatherer website and click random card over and over and over and over. And then we talk about how we would or would not use those cards in Commander.
Eventually, after the heat death of our solar system and the gravitational decay of our known universe, we would have talked about every single Magic the Gathering card in a Commander context.
I don't know what accent that was.
Trying to be English National Treasure and astrologist Sir Patrick Moore.
Oh, but wow,
if you're not from England, you'll go, or Britain, you'll go,
like that. But first, I'm Nate Burgess.
I'm not Patrick Moore, but I'm in fact Sean Watson.
Wow. And we are Commanderin.
Yeah. Phil is not here again.
Yeah, let me check the chat. He had to go train his dog to teach him how to install a hard drive.
That's important.
Am I reading that right?
That's important. I mean, who else is going to do it if his dog doesn't do it? The cat?
No, the cat's pretty skittish and grumpy.
Right, okay. I mean, he might install the hard drive, but he'll put Linux on it or something.
Oy, oy, oy.
Anyway, thanks for listening, listeners. Nate, what are we going to do?
We're not going to talk about religion, politics, or Hearthstone.
No, no.
But we are going to talk about some cards in our Encyclopedia Commandrica. If you like what you hear and want to support the show, go to patreon.com/commanderinmtg and donate to us, please. Patreon allows you to give back to the creators you appreciate. We are also working on a few ways to give back to our patrons through exclusive offers and gifts. If you donate a buck a show, it helps immensely. And if you donate $10 a show, you get access to all of the hosts in our exclusive Facebook chat group. Patroni there also get to contribute to show plans, and they get sneak peeks and exclusive content, usually from me. Also, check us out on YouTube.
Good stuff going on there on YouTube, Nate. So, those of you that are interested in our competition to win lots of Commander decks, signed by not only Ethan Fleischer, but also Ben Hayes, the lead designer and lead developer of the set, respectively, I believe we'll be giving those away in the new year. And all you have to do is go give us a 5-star review on iTunes or retweet anytime we put out a tweet about a new episode being released, and you will go into the pot. And if you are one of our Patreons, you will automatically go into the pot. And there's a grand prize. 5 lucky people will win one of those decks. 1 lucky person will win 1 copy of each of those decks, all signed on the boxes.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could enter.
But no.
And just in case you're interested, we will ship anywhere in the world on these. So if you are putting a 5-star review on iTunes on somewhere like iTunes Australia, just buzz us a quick message so we can go look, because it's not somewhere we normally check it out. And I know we have some Australian listeners, or as they like me to do and say, Australian listeners, mate, bonza, give us a 5-star review, me old macker.
Yeah, they love that.
They love it when I do that. It's brilliant.
This week, we have a wonderful show lined up for you. We're going to revisit our Encyclopedia Commandrica. And then we will be addressing some listener questions from our deck testing and Patreon chats.
In a section I like to call 5 Minutes of Madness.
Okay.
Yep. I'll explain why when we get there. So, card number 1. Telekinesis. 2 blue for an instant. Target creature deals no combat damage during this.
Now read the Oracle
text.
Oh
my god, yeah. Trying to read Legends cards without the Oracle's hard. Let's try the Oracle text. Tap target creature. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt by that creature this turn. It does not untap during its controller's next 2 untap steps.
Aye.
Ouch. That's quite harsh.
Yeah. You might use this on opposing commanders that need to tap.
Yeah. I mean, an instant-heavy deck like Mizzix might run it.
That'd be mean.
Yeah, I think I'd still rather pay the extra 4 mana and have a Frost Titan that does, you know, similar, not the same exactly, but is more effective over the course of a long multiplayer game.
Or a Tamiyo the Moon Sage.
Yes, or if you're in the right colours, Tamiyo the Field Researcher. I know it doesn't do this effect, but golly, does it pack a punch. Yeah. Telekinesis. I've never seen it reprinted. I wonder if it's an expensive card. Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, I probably wouldn't run this. But I could see situations where you might, but I think there are better cards for that effect.
Yeah, I like it. I mean,
I'm more likely to run Illusionist Gambit than Telekinesis.
If you live in a meta where there's a lot of activated abilities, then you might run this. Tap activated abilities, I guess. If it was tap target permanent and it doesn't untap for two turns, I think it would be better.
Yeah, I'm more likely to run Polymorphous Jest than Telekinesis.
Reins of Power?
What's that do?
Oh, Reins of Power is the blue insurrection. I have your creatures, you have my creatures.
Is it Reins like Royal Reins or like Cloud Reins?
Reins like Royal Reins, I think. Oh, that's like Reins that you get on a horse.
Reins? Oh, it's if you're driving a chariot or horses. Yeah, it's those kind of reins.
Indeed.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think I'd run that. If I'm looking for an instant that's going to save me in a combat, I'd run Reins of Power.
Yeah, in Commander, you usually don't want to do effects that save you in combat from just one creature.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, just one creature is not enough in Commander. I think we should move along, because we're already starting to talk about other cards quite heavily, and that's normally an indicator that we got bored of this one. The artwork's interesting, right, though. It's someone levitating in a sort of Aztec statue for fun. They don't draw him like they used to, do they, Nate?
He's a Toltec Jedi.
And I think the medium this one's been done in is crayon.
Card 2. Scrap Heap Scrounger. For 2 mana, you get an artifact creature construct. It's a 3/2. It can't block. And for 1 and a black, which means this needs to go in black decks, not just artifact colorless decks, exile another creature card from your graveyard. Return Scrap Heap Scrounger from your graveyard to the battlefield. Some machines refuse to accept their own obsolescence.
So I guess this is an aggro. This is a Kaladesh card, so hot off the presses.
Is it?
Yeah. I guess this is an aggro card. I don't know if it's seeing play. I don't even know if aggro is a thing in Standard at the moment. But this feels like a Standard card.
I'm not thinking of a reason to run this in a Commander deck.
If it was just exile another creature card from a graveyard.
Yeah, but it doesn't do that.
It does not do that, no. Yeah, I can't see why you would ever play with this. This kind of aggro isn't for us, I'm afraid. This is for limited and standard constructed. Yeah. Nice art, though. He looks like he's made out of old coal fires and stuff.
Yeah, he's got molten insides.
Yeah. Card number 3. Forest. Basic land, forest. Tap. Wow. Add 1 green mana to the mana pool.
Cool. I think I might use this.
I'm struggling to think of a situation I would use it.
You might use it in your Ikra Shiddiqui deck.
That's,
I know you've had that.
True. Yes.
You might run it in your Kaideli. Yeah.
Which is also my Ikra Shiddiqui deck.
Yeah.
Yep. I think there might be one in my Atraxa deck.
Oh, I run several of them in my Damia Sage of Stone.
Yes. So I would say this is the most powerful land in Magic, in Commander, because green is the most powerful Commander color.
Man.
I can hear people shouting at me going, no, it's clearly blue. I disagree. What are you going to do with all those cards you've drawn if you haven't got the mana to cast them, eh?
Yeah.
Actually, Breeding Pool or Tropical Island are probably better. But yeah, Forest. We have to get them all out of the way. So that we've done Forest and Plains now on the Commander Encyclopedia series. I'm surprised the others haven't come up sooner, but they haven't. So who knows when we'll get the next one.
Hmm. Who knows indeed?
Who knows? Nate?
Card 4. Dusk Rider Peregrine. Peregrine.
Peregrine, like the falcon.
For 5 and a white.
This better be good.
It's a creature bird. Creature bird. 3/3. It's got flying. Of course, it's a bird. And protection from black. That's right. Going to be useful. It's also got, for some reason, suspend 3 for 1 and a white. So instead of paying 6 mana for a flying 3/3 with protection from black, you can pay 2 mana to eventually get a 3/3 flying with protection from black.
Well, on turn 5, you desperately need a 3/3 flyer with pro black. That's the way forward.
Hmm. Well, he could block Atraxa.
Actually, he could. That's true. Well pointed out.
So if you're doing a Derevi or a Ishai and you're going bird tribal, here's a bird for you.
Yes. Card number 5. If beef, ifrit. If
what?
Biff refreet?
IFHBIFF.
Ifrit.
With a hyphen. IFH-BIFF.
Ifrit. Summon ifrit. 2/2 green. This might be our first Arabian Nights card. It's flying. When ifrit is in play, any player, any player can pay 1 green to have ifrit do 1 damage to each player and each flying creature in play. So anyone can pump their green to do hurricane. This ability does not tap ifrit, just in case you needed to know that, and it can be used as soon as it's been summoned.
All right.
Hoo-wee! That is so anyone can kill your 3/3 flyer for 3 green mana.
Yeah. Or you could put a grafted exoskeleton on him and do 3 poison damage to everybody.
It's a big if.
Yeah.
I do like in the artwork, we have what looks like a cravat-wearing romantic goth with a crushed velvet shirt and a spectacular, lustrous hair slick back and a goatee and elf ears looking at a black bottle. Plus, he's got green skin. Basically, what I'm trying to say is this is weird art.
Yeah, it is.
Really strange. Jesper Mjøfors classic, I guess.
He's got some weird plasma effect going on in the sky behind him.
I mean, I suppose it's nice to have a hurricane on a stick.
A small hurricane.
Well, remember, you can stack the ability over and over again. The problem is, it affects everybody. Everybody can activate it.
But won't it kill him before you can put more mana into it?
Well, no, because you could just put the trigger on the stack like 20 times. Each instance resolves individually.
But once he dies, is it still going to happen?
Yeah, but you do it. You put the other triggers on the stack before it resolves. So yes, it happens. Okay, so I say I'm going to put my third if biff a free trigger on the stack. So it's on the stack. It's going to happen. I put my fourth one on there. It's on the stack. It's going to happen. But before that resolves, I put my fifth one on there. It's on the stack. It's going to happen.
Yeah, but after 3, he's not going to be around.
And doesn't matter. The ability's already triggered.
Says, the ability says to have if biff a free do 1 damage.
I would check an oracle text on that. That's just because I bet it just says pay X green and do this and anyone can activate this ability.
So the oracle text says pay green if Biff Ifrit deals 1 damage to each creature with flying in each player. Any player may activate this ability.
Yeah, so what's the ability? So it's like Mother of Runes. So if I give... If you try and kill my Mother of Runes with Swords to Plowshares, right? I can give her pro white. If I try and give my other creature pro white, you can then kill my Mother of Runes, but the other creature still gets Pro White, even though your Swords to Plowshares has killed my Mother of Runes before that trigger resolves. Doesn't matter that my Mother of Runes isn't there. Do you see what I'm saying? Let's see, is there any rulings? Nope. It's just a triggered ability. An activated ability. So anyone can do it as many times as they want at instant speed. So you can just stack up the triggers. So it is just a hurricane that anyone can activate.
But my question is, since he dies after 3, and his power says that he deals the damage, if he's not around, then does it still happen?
So, I know a card you absolutely can deal with is Pestilence. Demon. So let's look at what Pestilence Demon says. So Pestilence Demon is 1 black. Pestilence Demon deals 1 damage to each creature and each player. Ruling. Pestilence Demon is 1 damage to itself as well as each. So it does it. There's no ruling on that as well. So yeah, you can do it. Because the trigger still goes on. Like the Mother of Runes, even though she's dead, she still gets to give the creature next to it Pro White. Because the trigger is already on the stack. Once the trigger's on the stack, it doesn't... It's not like a targeted ability where it fizzles, because there's no target involved. I might be totally wrong. If I am wrong, someone explain to me why I'm wrong. But my understanding of how activated abilities work is... And how the stack works is thus. Anyway, I think enough. Would you use this card in a commander deck, mate?
Nope.
I might if I was playing mono green and was struggling to find ways to deal with flyers. It is that rarest of thing, though. I just noticed it's a green flyer.
Yeah, but if you're in green and you need to deal with flyers, you got spiders for that.
Arachnogenesis. Hey, what's the next card?
Card 6. What the heck? Rune of Protection lands. For 1 and a white, you get an enchantment. It's got cycling, too, so you can throw this in the garbage and get another card, which might be a good idea. Or you can pay a single white, prevent all damage to you from a land source.
Prevent it. Do it.
So what's a land source that deals damage?
So any man land.
Oh, yeah.
And Noyandar, so awakened lands with Noyandar and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. So...
Yeah,
if your meta is being terrorized by a Noyandar deck for some reason, in whatever alternate universe that is, maybe you want to run Rune of Protection lands.
I mean, you do see Noyandar decks, but they don't really terrorize.
No, they don't.
There you go. You might want it if you have a cycling-themed deck for some reason. I don't know why. So there you go. Card number 7, Blinding Soul Eater. 3 mana for an artifact creature. Pay 1 white Phyrexian mana and tap it. Tap target creature, and it is a 1/3 artifact creature cleric from everyone's.
And that's white Phyrexian mana.
Yep, white Phyrexian mana. So that's 1 white or 2 life. If it was tap or untap target creature, it would be great.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. Do you remember White had a big thing about tapping down opposition creatures? That was a thing White did, I suppose can still do, just you don't see it in our format at all, do you? There was Whip Corder and all sorts that did it.
Yeah, it's like telekinesis. I don't want to tap just one thing.
Yeah, I think it's fine for other formats. If you were playing casual, like vintage, very casual vintage, you might want it.
If you're playing against just one opponent.
Yeah.
So you might put this in a French EDH deck. I don't know.
It's still a big might, but it's a Phyrexian card.
Yay.
So fun game. Whenever we get a Phyrexian card, judging purely on the art and the name and stuff, how might Phil justify using this card in a deck?
Well, has it been reprinted in a non-Phyrexian logo set?
Nope.
Well, then, I don't know. I don't know how he'd do it.
Well, you see, the Soul Eater is blinding Phyrexians, so they can't attack it, and that makes it okay.
Well, We do thank the Soul Eaters for inscribing our souls with subservience to reinforce the sacred order, says the drone's hymn of gratitude.
Which, of course, me and you both know off by heart, don't we, Nate?
We do now.
Indeed. Moving on.
Card 8. Scale Guard Sentinels. Green, green. For a creature, human soldier. 2/3. As an additional cost to cast Scale Guard Sentinels, you may reveal a dragon card from your hand. Scale Guard Sentinels enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it if you revealed a dragon card or controlled a dragon as you cast Scale Guard Sentinels. It can come in as a 3/4 if you have a dragon.
It's 2 green for 2/3. It smells like it would be good in Khans of Tarkir / Fate Reforged Limited.
Sure.
Unless you're heavily doing an Abzan / Dromoka themed deck, and by Abzan I don't mean the Shard of Wedge, I mean the actual tribe, horde, mm-hmm. whatever they were.
The soldiers wearing the dragon scales in the art.
Yep. Unless you're really heavy into that, I can't see why you would ever use this.
Me neither.
Yeah. Do you know what we need to cleanse our palate from this stinky limited card? We need an...
Card 9?
An old classic called Card 9. Coral Helm. 3 mana for a poly artifact. That means it can have more than one partner from the artifacts.
What?
It's polyamorous, you see. Poly artifact. Poly artifact used to be a thing. Anyway, you could pay 3.
What does that even mean?
It's what was this set called?
The Oracle text just says artifact.
Yeah,
it doesn't say
poly. I really need the original because it's good fun and I want a poly artifact. I think poly artifacts. Oh, I'm not allowed to say. So you could pay 3 mana. Give target creature +2/+2 until end of turn. Each time you use this ability, you must discard 1 card at random from your hand. Coral Helm cannot be used if you have no cards in your hand.
Huh.
Is there a you want to discard your own stuff deck that this could go into? Because there is a space for that ability to be able to chuck stuff out of your hand.
If your deck is full of... maybe you have a 5-color deck with Anger and Filth and Genesis... And, you know, those creatures that, when they're in your graveyard, things happen for you.
Anger, Filth, Genesis. I'm trying to think what the white one and the blue one are called. Wonder is the blue one?
Well, it's a cycle of creature incarnations.
Yeah, Wonder is the blue one. I don't know what the white one is. The blue one's really good. If it's in your yard, everything gets flying, which is powerful.
The white one is Valor. As long as Valor is in your graveyard and you control a planes, creatures you control have first strike.
That's okay.
But anyway, we're not talking about those.
No. Coral Helm. So you might want it in a discard matters deck. Sadly, it's discard at random. Otherwise, I think this would actually be very good. I think if you could pinpoint discard and give something +2/+2 for 3 mana, you might just drop it into a couple of weird decks.
Yeah, you got to do a lot of gymnastics to really get a good effect out of this, I think.
I think there's some Johnnies out there that would see a card like this and go, oh, how can I make that work? It's that kind of card. And
it's a challenge.
And it's a poly artifact. Would you put this in your Merfolk theme deck because it's a Coral Helm?
I don't have a Merfolk deck, and if I did, I would not.
I meant hypothetically. Like, if you hear this, A. Marlin, would you put this in your Briny Deep deck? Tweet at us.
I think the Professor likes Merfolk as well.
He does. He likes them in Modern as well, and the Professor. Coral Helm, anyone? Anyway, moving on.
Card 10. Wizened Snitches.
Say that three times when you got cold.
Wizened Snitches. 3 and a blue. Creature Fairy Rogue. 1/3. Flying. Players play with the top card of their libraries revealed.
So I know a deck that would like this.
Yes, we recently talked about Una, Queen of the Fae, who is a fairy who generates fairy rogues. And if you can see the top card of everyone's deck, then you're getting a fairy.
Definitely getting a fairy.
You know what color those cards are.
And you can guarantee you're not hitting a land as your first pull. So if you only want to Una for one. Oh, in fact, it's better. It's way better than that. If you've got a lot of mana, you can just keep, if you don't mind doubling up on the cost, you can keep hitting their deck one card at a time.
Hmm. Yep.
Yeah, because every card. Rashmi might play this. She likes to be able to see the top of her deck. I mean, it's no Oracle of Moldiah, don't get me wrong, but Rashmi might play this if you were playing on a budget. Or not.
Yeah.
Okay. Card number 11?
Hmm?
Hellkite. Jarjaw. 4/2 red for a creature, dragon, 5/5, flying, and haste. Whenever Hellkite Charger attacks, you may pay 5/6/7. If you do, untap all attacking creatures, and after this phase, there is an additional combat phase. This also reads, if this creature is equipped with Sword of Feast and Famine, have infinite combat steps.
Hey, quit it.
Another card that goes beautifully with this is Savage Ventmore, because then it says, pay 1 red. Take an extra combat step.
Yeah, the Savage Ventmaw gives you 6 mana back.
It does, yeah. Three of which
is
red.
And you can just pay a generic mana.
In fact, yes, because you've got the red requirement out of the Ventmaw. I've seen this as a cornerstone for winning with several dragon decks.
Yeah, I might even put it in Earl the Miststalker, maybe.
Yeah, extra combat steps, and it's not impossible to get 7 mana or pretty close to it from attacking. So you can just keep going with the Hellkite Charger.
Yeah.
I think it might even be a staple in dragon decks, the Hellkite Charger.
Yeah, probably Kalia's going to have it.
It's certainly in Scion of the Ur-Dragon, because as soon as you get the mana going, you can get the extra, because that's a Voltron deck, or not Voltron, it's a commander damage deck, so the extra combat step can probably do it sometimes. Indeed. Yep, solid card, Hellkite Charger. Can't complain about it. If you're running dragons, run it.
Sure.
Yep. What's next, Nate?
Card 12. Elven Fortress. For a single green, you get an enchantment. And the activated ability on it says, pay 1 and a green... Target blocking creature gets +0/+1 until end of turn.
Oh.
Huh. I would hope that I have better things to spend my mana on.
Yeah. Bearing in mind the artwork is a load of elves, well, an elf, standing up in a treetop village, Ewok village style. If this said, all elves gain reach, and then had that second ability...
Oh.
I still think it would be costed properly. And you might even play it then.
All elves become spiders.
Basically, because they're living up in the trees, Nate. The trees. Doran, Siege Tower deck? Oh, no, it's only target blocking creature.
Yeah.
And it's target, not all. Ugh, it's just awful, Nate. It's just a terrible card.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Is it Homelands? Yeah, that's not a good set. Card number 13. Swamp. Basic land.
Hey.
Swamp. Tap. Add 1 black mana to your mana pool.
That's one of the good lands. I like that.
Yeah, that's my favorite land. What sort of things can you do with a swamp, Nate? How would you use it in your commander deck?
Well, you can use it to extort. You can use it to make your Cabal coffers tap for more mana.
On turn one, you can use it to cast a cheeky Blood Chief Ascension.
Or a Planar Void.
It's a basic land. It's a swamp. This, yay, in my opinion, should be in every deck.
It's in most of my decks.
It's in most of mine as well. Say the 2 black mages... some of you look at swamps as being dreary, muck-filled places filled with animals that will eat you, sting you, bite you, or poison you to death. I see it as...
Oh, they will do that.
I see it as home.
Yeah, it's full of rich, rich organic material.
Oh,
and water. All mixed together.
Fragrant smells. coming up from the swamp gas.
Yes, very powerful smells. If you want your methane, this is where you get it.
Yeah, that's why it's super powerful, because it actually has methane. Next.
Card 14, rock egg. And it's not the geologic rock, it's the bird kind of rock.
Yeah.
Rock egg. 2 and a white, creature bird, even though it's still in the egg. It's a 0/3 defender. And when rock egg dies, put a 3/3 white bird creature token with flying onto the battlefield.
Can I not just have a 3/3 flyer for my 3 mana, please?
Eventually you can.
Yeah, but really, I just want one now.
Nope. So you gotta have a wall first.
So bear in mind, we did genuinely, as always, get these cards randomly. Gatherer today has given us a 3/3 flying bird that can suspend and cost 6 mana, or a 3/3 flying bird that has to be a defender and die first before it becomes a 3/3 flying bird.
Well, it blocks something for you, right?
Yeah, but so does a 3/3 flying bird.
This might be one of the few creature birds that does not have flying.
Yes. Can't think of any others.
This might be the only one.
I'm sure someone will correct us on that, but yes. In fact, that is an incontrovertible fact. This is the only bird that doesn't have flying, creature bird.
Mm-hmm.
Prove me wrong, and tweet your answers to @KetJack. @KetJack. Card number 15. Mistfire Adept. It is 3 and a blue for a creature human monk with prowess. 3/3. I love prowess. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, target creature gains flying until end of turn. Now, I think we should use this as a chance to talk slightly wider about prowess as a mechanic. The often maligned and overlooked prowess.
Yeah, I don't look at prowess much.
So, there's only one real prowess commander, isn't there? Which is
Shu Yun the Silent Tempest.
It is Shu Yun the Silent Tempest. He has prowess. If you can get just a couple of spells going on him, bear in mind you can make him double strike, he becomes a beatdown machine. So if you have a Jeskai spells deck, it's really good. Now, this particular prowess card I don't think is that hot. Although, it's not totally unusable. Target creature gains flying until end of turn.
Yeah, so maybe you're playing a Tibor and Lumia deck for some reason, and you want another way to give things flying. Or you're playing a Monk Tribal with Shu Yun, of course.
Yes, I think that is... Yeah, I think Monk Tribal. I was about to say, I think if you're doing a bit like the Dragon guys before, the Dragon Scale guys, if you were doing Jeskai rather than America, you know, so actually doing the Jeskai tribe, that would be a fairly solid guy to be in that deck. I mean, I think it has a space. I don't think it's in many decks, but I think it has a space.
I haven't found prowess to be very effective in Commander.
I think you need the double strike, which is why Shu Yun.
I haven't brewed a prowess deck, but I haven't really played against Shu Yun that often, so maybe I might be wrong.
No, Shu Yun can be great. If you ever get to play with Jason Ault, he has a good Shu Yun deck. He claims, anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, so that concludes our 15 cards for Encyclopedia Commanderica this week.
Yay.
As always, we get one decent commander card, don't we? Which I think this time, obviously not including the basic lands, was Hellkite Charger.
Yeah, that could go in a few things.
Yeah. So, as a little added bonus, I gave the Patreon listeners and some people in our deck testing group 5 minutes to ask me any questions they can, and we will answer any of them in a quickfire round. And I have compiled a list of all of the questions. So the people in no particular order that asked these questions were, we have Jackie Miller and Andy Bentley. We also have Henry Stokenborg, because that's how he likes me to say his name. Paul Haberman, Weston Schadenfreude, which isn't his real surname, also known as Captain Manorox on our deck testing group. Nicholas, friend of the show, Jared Grulski. And my favourite, my little Mexican buddy, AZ Martinez. Hey AZ, how's it going? Who's not been playing with us lately because he's gone to big school finally, Nate.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. He's all grown up. They grow up so fast. sunrise, sunset, etc. Cats in the Cradle, blah, blah. So I'm just going to fire these questions out and we'll answer them as we like to do it. And I'm just going to quickly add a question on, which Jackie just sent me, and then we're going to go. You ready, Nate?
Yeah.
Okay. Question one. What is AZ's favorite deck?
I'm going to guess Maelstrom Wanderer.
When I look at AZ, I think of lots of decks. I think of Maelstrom Wanderer. I think of Rorik's The Risen. But I think his favorite deck is probably... oh, God. Let's go Nosset Transcendent because he's that kind of guy.
Hey.
Okay, next question. Favorite commander to build your first deck around if you're talking to a new player?
I'd probably actually recommend Aloro.
Ooh, good. I'm going to say Meron of Clan Nel'Toth.
All right.
Yep, both Aloro and Meron. Simple, out of the box, do what they say on the tin, cheap to build around in dollars and pounds. Can't really go wrong with them. Okay, next question. What is your favorite commander to recommend to new EDH players? I reckon that's the same question. Fourth question. Favorite Theros god, and why?
Purphoros, god of the forge, because it kills everyone.
Thassa, god of the sea, because it's a subtle knife and has won me so many games. Least favorite Theros god, and why?
Probably Ephara, god of the polis, because I don't like the color combination or what it does.
Mine's going to be Farika, because I love the color combination of Golgari, and she was a real letdown. Okay, if you had to build a deck to hand out to other players, which commander do you personally feel fills this role well?
Maybe Krenko.
Ooh.
It's easy to figure out while you're playing it, and it's challenging to play against.
Okay, I'm going to say Omnath, Locus of Rage, Angry Omnath. For similar reasons, it's fun when it gets going. You feel like you're always doing something, even when you're playing land, so you never feel like you're out of the game. You know, no draw in that deck is a dead draw. And it's red-green, so it doesn't involve any funky comboing out. Okay, next question. What is your favorite, and just want the list, not reasons why's, monocolor, dual, guild, shard wedge, four-color, and five-color commanders, in that order? So going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, golly. Does Kozilek count as monocolor?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Kozilek, Butcher of Truth?
Yep. Guild.
Two colors, probably Una, Queen of the Fae. Three color, Yuleva, Nefalia, Scourge. Four color, Yidris, Maelstrom Wanderer. And five color, Reaper King.
Ooh, very nice. Okay, cool. I'm going to say monocolor, Kira the Great Glass Spinner. Guild will be Lazav, Demir Mastermind. Three color is going to be... Oh, that's a tough one. I don't play many three color decks. I'm normally a two color guy. I'm going to go with... what's that guy called? You know the one. Sidri, Galvanic Genius. It's not a guy, it's a gal. Sidri, Galvanic Genius.
Steampunk Hermione.
Yeah, Steampunk Hermione, indeed. Four will be Breya, Ethereum Sculptor, which is basically Sidri. And five, I'm going to go with Corona the False God. Excellent. Mm. Yeah, there we go. Okay, next question. Your favorite American sports team and why? And we'll flip this for you, Nate, as favorite English sports team.
Oh.
And favorite English sport. So, favorite English sport and sports team, and why?
Well, it's not really a team. I would say boxing using the rules of Queen...
Queensbury rules.
Queensbury rules. Yep.
And your favorite boxer?
British boxer?
Whatever you like.
Who is that guy? Evander Holyfield? Is he British?
He is very much American. Let's go with Lennox Lewis. He was English.
All right.
My favorite American sport... at the moment is Major League Baseball, and my favorite sports team from that would be the Baltimore Orioles, because they're a team with a good history, reasonable success, and they appear to have a very devoted and fan-focused drive for their team, and I like teams that feel like good community teams. That's why the Orioles. Let's go, O's. Okay, question. Who would win in a game of badminton between me, you, and Phil? And why?
Probably you, because you're young and you're younger than us old geezers.
Now, I'm going to let you in on a secret, Nate. Although I do play roller derby and I'm quite good at that, I have awful hand-eye coordination.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's me.
Okay, I'm going to go with Phil, because he looks like the sort of man that's hiding extra shuttlecocks within his capacious beard, and he will suddenly shout, "Multicock!" And there'll be like four or five shuttlecocks flying around. You won't know what to hear. It'll be like you're playing Speedball 2 on the Amiga when the multi-ball function happened.
I don't think you can do that in the badminton rules.
I've never watched a game of badminton, so I'm guessing you can. And without a judge handy, we can't prove either of us is wrong.
Okay.
Okay, this one's specifically for you, Nate.
Oh, goodness.
Your favorite band and genre of music?
Let's say Frank Zappa, free jazz.
Ooh, we all know how we feel about jazz on this show, Nate. You've been keeping that one hidden.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to add this question in. Bear in mind your last answer. If you were in the Mothers of Invention, what instrument would you play?
Oh, probably the kazoo, or I'd be singing in the background or something. Although I do have a similar vocal register to Frank Zappa.
Ooh.
So if he's on the sideline, I could fill in.
Okay. Sean, your favorite American food, and Nate, your favorite British food. So my favorite American food is I had some Creole cooking, good old Louisiana crab cakes that literally felt like a choir of angels were making love in my mouth. Nate?
Okay.
Good luck describing British food in such ways.
I'm not going to try that. But in my fridge right now, I do have a jar of Branston pickle.
Oh, that's good stuff. Just get that on some Jacob's cream crackers and mainline it straight into your mouth hole. Okay. Top three favorite green cards. None of them can be Sylvan Library. Go.
Yeah, that wouldn't be in my top three anyway. That's a tough question.
That's from AZ.
Managorger Hydra.
Oh, nice.
I'd put that in there.
Yep. I think we're going to say mono green for this, by the way. You can't be cheeky and have a gold card.
While I think about it, you go.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Miri's Guile, the most blue-green card I've ever seen that isn't Sylvan Library.
but it's basically Sylvan Library.
Shut up. AZ did not state it could have been Miri's Guile. I'm going to go with Boundless Realms, because when you resolve it, it's hilarious. And I'm going to go with the green card that I put in every green deck that I run, regardless of its strategy, Avenger of Zendikar.
Hmm. I'd say, well, the ones I use the most are Cultivate and Kadama's Reach.
Oh, they're basically the same card, you cheat.
Yeah. Well, then I'd also put Boundless Realms in there.
Oh, good choice. Good choice.
Because it is funny.
Yeah, they go.
It's always hilarious.
What? What? Okay. Right. Next question. Apply this same question, but to red, and you're not allowed to choose Chaos Warp.
Oh, but I can choose Vandal Blast.
You can.
And I will.
Right, okay, so Vandal Blast and your other two, as it's best of three?
Comet Storm?
Yeah, that's a good one, even though it was the Take the Mick rubbish card from, what was it, Modern Masters 2?
Yeah, in smaller formats, Comet Storm's not so good, but in Commander, when you've got lots of mana, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's good. And that's your three. So my red cards that I always play.
Oh, that was two.
Vandal Blast, Comet Storm, and... Oh, yeah, it was two.
I'll say Purphoros again.
My skin crawls. I play Wheel of Fortune all the time, because it's stunningly brilliant. / Reforge the Soul. I won't take two as that. Blasphemous Act is an...
Oh, yeah.
Absolute bonkers card. And last, but very much not least, Kiki Jiki Mirror Breaker. Ew. If you're going to take a busted red legendary creature, I'm going to take one too. Okay, your favorite monarch from the last 300 years?
Queen Marquesa.
Good answer. I'm going to go with Catherine the Great of Russia, because I think from my history I know of her, it's actually...
It's all hearsay. It's all hearsay.
It's not entirely true. Sean, tell us about your LARPing adventures. Oh, God. That's not a quickfire question, and that was Nick Jaragoski. Mm-hmm. I will tell you a quick story. I once assassinated someone, and they got so upset at the beginning. It was on the first day of the event. They got so upset that they packed up their tent and went home for a weekend they'd spent £85 on a ticket on. And in my head, that justified that I don't want that kind of person in my hobby anyway. Okay. Nick.
Wow. You're just doing that all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know. Why is black the best color? And they spelt it correctly with an O and a U. Good man.
Kahlua.
That's
black can liqueur, do this. Pretty much anything if you're okay with dripping a few drops of blood on the spellcasting altar.
I'm going to answer this in the form of song. I can do anything. You can do slightly worse and at a slightly higher cost. I can do anything that anyone else can do. Brackets except destroying charms and artifacts. That's my answer. Okay. What is your guilty pleasure commander?
Yaleva Nefalia Scourge, because she's an evil Narset.
She is, but no one gets upset when you play her. Guilty pleasure commander. Christ almighty. Mine is going to be Kira the Great Glass Spinner, because people go, well, that doesn't do much, and kind of ignore you. Then after a few turns... you've got such a hard non-stacks control lock on the table that you look them right in the eye and go, yeah, she's rubbish, and then laugh to yourself all the way to the win. Okay, I'm going to answer this question for us both next. What is the least favourite commander to play against, Leovold, Emissary of Trest?
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
Yeah, because the Narsets and Rafiks can kick you out of the game quickly and end the game quickly, but Leovold, you don't really get to play cards. I don't know whether you agree with that sentiment, Nate, but that's how I feel about it.
I like having a hand.
Yeah, I like being able to have a hand in the future as well. What card, this is a good, an excellent question from Patreon Jackie. What card do you always find yourself using but never see other people play?
I don't see other people playing Into the Core.
Is that the Exile 2 artifacts?
Yes, it's a red it's a red instant that exiles two artifacts.
That is a phenomenally good card. And you used it on me tonight, in fact.
Yeah, I did.
The one for me that I am always amazed that I never see people play and is one of the stone cold best draw spells in all of Commander, not in Magic, but in Commander, is Recurring Insight, which is 4 and 2 blue, draw cards equal to the highest number of cards in all players' hands. And then it has rebound, so you do it again for free on your next upkeep. I mean, I've drawn 30 cards off that spell.
Yeah, I used to have Recurring Insight in Yaleva, but then I realized that Yaleva doesn't really need to draw cards.
No, but if you're not running it in blue, like 6 isn't a lot to play when there's always someone with, you know, 7 cards at least in their hand. You just go, well, I'm going to get a new hand of cards twice. It's a stunning spell that I never, ever see anyone apart from me use. Okay, to add to Jackie's question, this is from Andy. What card have you stopped using because you realized you were overusing it? That is an excellent question, actually. I'm going to need a second.
As much as I talk about Purphoros, I actually haven't put it in many decks lately.
Yes. I haven't seen you drop one for a little while, actually. That's a good point. Why did you stop using it? Well, just while I think of my answer.
It's kind of like Craterhoof Behemoth in that you kind of get sick of winning that way. And you want to find out other ways to win.
Yeah. Mine's definitely going to be a black card. I would say Sheldred, but I haven't stopped using it. But I might think I am overusing it. I literally own 8 copies of that card and they're all in decks. Oh, I know what I stopped using so much. I stopped using Yawgmoth's Will so much. I'm very fortunate in that I own a lot of them, even though it's an expensive card. And the amount of times I was just digging for it, really, I was tutoring for it or just hunting it out with a Necropotence. I've stopped using Necropotence as much lately as well, because there's been a few games where I've found myself stuck. I've got the Potence out and I'm playing in Dimir and my life total has been hit low and my hand is rubbish and I've not been able to get cards, so it's kind of lost me the game. So I think if you're playing outside of a colour where you can disenchant your own Potence, you should probably be careful using it. There you go. 2 more questions. Do you like using plane chase cards in Commander? I love it, personally. It always brings a fun and unique obstacle to a game. That is for Jackie Miller.
So she loves it. Do you love it?
That wasn't my answer. That was me reading her question. I've only tried plane chase Commander once, and it was good fun. And when Plane Chase Anthology comes out, I intend to get a full set, but we didn't have a full set of the cards, so I've not had a much chance to do it.
Yeah, I haven't played it before. I'm willing to try, and going to a local event this Saturday that's a Plane Chase Commander.
Ooh, very cool. Jackie, if you're looking for other fun and unique way obstacles to a game, can I recommend drinking an entire bottle of tequila before playing? Or maybe playing whilst trying to write a concerto or complicated composition. They're fun and unique obstacles. last question. Another fun question. That's what the author of the question writes, not me. What is your most budget deck and what is your most expensive deck? And how much, roughly, would it cost to build from scratch? As Sean reaches for his app, which tells him the prices of his decks.
Oh, golly.
That's Decked Builder app, by the way, if anyone wants to know, because I know someone will ask me.
I'm guessing Krenko would be the most budget from scratch, although if you really want budget, you'd get one of the precons and modify it.
Yes, my cheapest, if you take the Force of Will and Underground Sea out of it, is my current Dragon Lord Silumguard deck, because it's mostly just stuff like Spell Twine, which are 50p common rares, which are brilliant, and then clones, which, with the exception of Sakashima and Sakashima Student, are all really cheap. My most expensive, by probably some considerable way, will be my Breyer deck's quite pricey. Let me just hit the price button on it. It's coming in without the dual lands at this one, cutting the dual lands out, $756.
Golly.
Yeah.
If you're going for a budget, specifically which precon is the most budget, I would say Azuri Claw of Progress, because all those infect creatures are pretty cheap in dollar pounds. And my most expensive, It might be Damia, or it might be Rakdos, because they're full of those legendary Eldrazi.
Yeah, I think I averaged out the price. I always have 10 decks built, and the average cost of them is about $450. But I make no secret that I have some expendable income and can spend it. I would highly suggest to people, though, that you don't need, like, who wants a $200 dual land when essentially it's not much better than a shock land in our format? And even then,
yeah,
it's only one tiny pip of tempo better than a guild gate, if we're honest. You don't need to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on your decks. And that's why shows like the Commander's Brew are super awesome. So roughly how much would it cost to build from scratch? I think you can make, like, you can drop Demonic Tutor and put in Diabolic Tutor. So you're cutting a $18 card and putting in a 50 cent card, you know. Yeah, that's budget Commander for you. Let me just check. No one sent me any last questions before we go. Oh, I have a question from Nick Jaragrulski.
My Damia deck says it's about $460.
Yes. So, not cheap, but they don't have to be that expensive. Honest gov. Question from Nick Jaragulski, and this will be a nice question to end on. You're stuck on a hostile plane. You have to ask one planeswalker to come and assist you, save you, to get off that plane. Who do you ask and why?
I think the original question was, which planeswalker would you trust to get you home?
Oh, yeah, that is the original question. So, which planeswalker would you trust to get you home?
I would choose Nicol Bolas, because if I conquer the plane, then that's my new home.
It's the most perfect Nate answer. I'm going to choose Tamio, because...
Oh, which Tamio?
Field researcher. Because she essentially tries to think like I do, which is tries to think her way out of problems using logic and puzzles. And, on a side note, if we fail, who doesn't like rabbit ladies from Asian plains? You know, when Bugs Bunny used to dress up as a girl bunny? Did you ever find that attractive? I'm quoting Wayne's. It's Wayne's World now. No.
Is that a question?
Good. Neither did I. I was just asking. Right. So, that concludes our questions. Thank you for the 5 minutes of madness. It was actually quite good fun. And we'll do it again when Phil's here. Lil Phil is back off his... He's got to do his chores, you see, before going back to kindergarten. Hey, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Nate, what if people want to support the podcast?
Oh, for all the good things we put in their ears? They can head over to patreon.com/commanderandmtg, or they can give us a 5-star review on iTunes, or they can subscribe to our YouTube channel and like our videos. We love our listeners. And we are incredibly grateful to all the patrons. So come get your gratitude exactly like...
All the people whose questions we just mentioned before?
Oh yeah, those guys. And lady. And come playtest with us. And if you donate $10 or more per episode, you can come join the patron chat we host over on Facebook.
Yes.
Our theme song was created by me. Our logo was created for the podcast by Mr. Picto, with assistance from Kelly. Our tech whizzing was done by Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank. And our server spacing was done by Justin. Our website is CommanderAndMTG.com. Our email is cast@CommanderAndMTG.com. Find us on all the social media by searching for Commander and MTG Podcast. Individually on Twitter, I'm at Mr. Plorg.
I am at Copain26. And Lil Phil?
I'm at Ketjack. And that's our show.
Commander. I wonder, as a bonus question, people could guess which famous Justin provides our server space. Bieber, Timberlake, or Hawkins, who was the singer from the now-defunct rock band The Darkness?
I didn't know that last one.
Hey, he's the really ugly guy. Do you remember The Darkness?
No.
Oh, they sang, I believe in a thing called love.
That doesn't sound very dark.
No, that was the irony, you see. They were a sort of comedy rock band. They did sort of 80s-style power rock, Twisted Sister-style rock.
Like Spinal Tap?
Yes, like Spinal Tap, but not as funny. But they had a very popular song in England called Get Your Hands Off My Woman, which was the full name of the song. Then they did a song called Growing on Me, which is a love song, which compares essentially smutty innuendos about genital warts to love. And then they did a very big hit song, which is also a hit in America, called I Believe in a Thing Called Love. But their singer looks like what I imagine most Americans believe English men look like. Sort of chinless, bad teeth, thinning hair, but at a glance you'd guess he has a rapier-like wit.
Hmm. Okay.
Check out the darkness.
Sure. Okay.
Howdy, folks. We wanted to wish all of our listeners a happy holidays. If you're celebrating Christmas, Merry Christmas. If you're celebrating Hanukkah, Happy Hanukkah. Festivus. Well, we missed the airing of grievances by a day. You see, I'm recording this on Christmas Eve in Los Angeles, California. It's not quite Christmas Day. That's about 5 hours from now. But we wanted to get a head start on wishing everybody their favorite holiday greetings. That was a great episode Sean and Nate put out. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of that 5 minutes of madness. Stay tuned for that. Maybe we'll announce it and see if we can get our Twitter followers to give him questions over a 15-minute period of time. That was awesome. Loved hearing it. Anyway, you can probably hear that I'm recording this on different equipment. I'm recording it on a gamer microphone, a high-quality gamer microphone, but it's nowhere near the quality of what we're used to on our show. I'm just using this equipment because I had it at hand, and I'm somewhat lazy. I think my wife is wrapping gifts upstairs in our bedroom, which is where I normally record, so I figured it's best I stay down here. You should let us know if you've made that mistake where you walk into your significant other's area while he or she is wrapping your presents. Sneak peeks. Don't forget to tell us what gift was your favorite to give out this year, and since you're probably going to be listening to this after the gift-giving day, whether it's Boxing Day in England or Lutefisk Swapping Day in Sweden and Norway, you probably have already received your gifts for the season. So tell us what your favorite gift was, both to give and to receive. If you've got photographs, hey, all the better. All right, time for me to go. I promised myself I'd try to keep this short. Thanks a lot, folks. You've made this a wonderful year, especially our Patronies, and we look forward to playing and meeting with many more of you over the next year. 2017 is already shaping up to be pretty darn good. Stay tuned for what we have to offer you. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.